Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always, to be part of your day and have you join me in my day. I'm very happy to tell you that Ken Davis is back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Ken C. Davis is the author of the series Don't Know Much About. The first book he wrote, Don't Know Much About History. Also, don't know much about mythology. He's written some others. He's got several of them out, which have sold something under a billion copies galactically. And I know the Don't Know Much About History book has sold way, way, way over a million, maybe 2 million by now. And he's our good friend, Ken Davis. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's always a great pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Labor Day is coming up. And it's a national holiday, isn't it?
It is a national holiday. It's actually one of the oldest of our national holidays. A lot of people are surprised to learn that this goes back to 1894. It was first signed into law by Grover Cleveland, and it was signed into law to celebrate the strength and spirit of the American worker. And that's, of course, a strength and spirit that's being tested sorely these days. But important to remember what it was like to be an American worker in 1890. It was an era of 12-hour work days, six-day work weeks, certainly no benefits, no health care, very, very unsafe conditions in a lot of American industries. The railroad, mining were all very dangerous. No child labor laws back then, of course. So it was a difficult time, and I know that probably unions aren't one of your favorite subjects. But
where would you get an idea like that, Ken?
I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing. But
let me stop you. Wait a minute. You threw that gauntlet down, Ken. Let me stick something in here. I am the product of a union household.
As am I.
My dad worked for the union. My mother was union. She was a telephone operator, and they wanted her to become a supervisor, and she wouldn't take it because she didn't want to leave the union. In the days of that you're talking about, which their day was much later, obviously, than the origins of Labor Day.
Sure.
But
sure.
In those days, the origins of Labor Day, and during the days of my mother and father working, the unions were a very, very important part. I actually call the union experience in the United States an experiment, because it was something that was tried. It worked. And we found out that it worked. It solved a lot of ills. It brought a lot of people in line with the way we should treat our fellow man. And my issue right now is I just think that they're irrelevant anymore. They're not necessary.
Well, I think they were the victim of their own successes.
Exactly.
to a large extent.
Well said.
And certainly, you know, what we do tend to take for granted, and most people who enjoy decent working conditions don't realize that a lot of blood and sweat was spilled to win those. Of course, the period I'm talking about, the late 19th century, union organization was met with harsh and very often violent opposition by not only the big companies, but by the government. It was a powerful combination. In fact, Labor Day has a little connection to one of the most infamous moments
right.
in union history, the Haymarket
right.
Square riots. Chicago, 1886, there was a strike against the McCormick Reaper Company. This is the early days of union organizing.
I think even a little before that wasn't when was the Pullman plant riots? That was that, That was about the same time, wasn't it?
That was around the same time, a little bit earlier. And this is, people probably may not know that at that time the Pullman Car Company was the General Motors of its day. It was the biggest corporation in America. There was a town called Pullman, and you were born, lived, and died in Pullman. You bought your groceries, paid your rent, and this again, it goes back to this time when the company owned you.
And they paid your check net of rent, groceries, etc.
That is correct, and so there were tremendous excesses at that time. To go back to Haymarket Square for a moment, there was a tremendous riot there. A bomb was thrown, and some policemen were killed. Union labor organizers were rounded up and quickly tried and executed as being responsible for
this. Wow. They were executed?
Yes, they were hung in Chicago. And most historians agree, looking back, and governors even back then agreed that this was a miscarriage of justice.
Right.
And one of the reasons then that Labor Day was put in September was by agreement with some of the unions of that time, was to keep it away from Haymarket Square's anniversary, which was May. And that's the reason in Europe, for instance, you celebrate May Day. It's really to mark the Haymarket Square riots and what happened there. And it's interesting to see that America moved its Labor Day away from it. It did not want to have this connection, this connotation to this very violent event and the making of these labor martyrs.
Right. Well, one of the things, just to quickly get back to the thing on the Pullman, one of the reasons that's interesting there, because I think this is pertinent to what's happening today, the marketplace goes in cycles. Things go up and things go down. Mr. Newton's law of gravity is alive and well in the marketplace. There was a depression, as I remember, Ken, that caused the slowdown of the purchase and the manufacturing of Pullman cars, railroad cars. So Mr. Pullman had to lay off some employees, which meant that they didn't have anywhere to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was a reaction to an economic decline.
That's absolutely correct. And these were folks who were accustomed to living in Pullman and having it having everything, but that meant everything could be pulled away from them at a moment.
It was it was utopia. But it was, in a way, but it was, in to some degree. But the truth is it really wasn't viable. It wasn't sustainable.
And
that's, I only bring that up to say that a lot of people are talking about, you know, the current economic conditions like it's somebody's fault. Markets go up, markets go down. And it happens. It's been happening for a long time. Ken, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back. Ken's got a lot more good stuff for us on Labor Day right after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Kenneth C. Davis is our guest. His book is Don't Know Much About History.
My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
The Ventures, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure that's Walk, Don't Run 64. Isn't that right? I think that's right. Anyway, 23 after. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Ken, what chapter is the history on? Is the history of music in your book? Is there, which chapter is it? I've forgotten.
I
was going to flip over to see if I could catch the title of that song in your book, but
I'm not
sure.
I don't think the Ventures made Don't Know Much About History.
But you remember them though, don't you?
Oh, I grew up on the Ventures. We're talking the same language, but this brief history of Labor Day there's a little bit about it in this new book called Don't Know Much About Anything Else, which is a collection of fun quizzes, not trivia, important, interesting, useful information set up in a quiz format. It's a great book to have in the car on a car trip or.
So that's the brand new one. Is it just out?
That's the new one that's just out, and
say the title again.
Don't Know Much About Anything Else. It's a follow-on to last year's Don't Know Much About Anything, which was a New York Times bestseller. And again,
And by the way, I don't have that book. I've got most of your other books. I don't have that book, so I'm a little disappointed, Ken.
It's so fresh off the presses, it probably hasn't gotten it.
All right, I'm sure it'll get
hit.
Give us your website.
Don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe, right. And I don't sell anything there, but you can find out more about me and my books and have some fun. A great place to send the kids also for some information, because I do children's books as well, as you know. And, you know,
years ago, Ken, when I started doing my own research on Labor Day to write some columns about it, I found one thing that was very interesting. One of the first elements, one of the first absolute no exceptions element to all the Labor Day celebrations 120 something years ago was barbecues. They all had barbecues.
They always had barbecues.
They got together. They took the first one. They took a paid day off. They just didn't go to work. Took a day off, and they had barbecues. Now, how about that? Now, my point is, you know, sometimes I think people think, well, you know, it's just a reason to get together and have a barbecue. Well, let me tell you something, folks. This was one of the original elements.
Parades and picnics and barbecues have been around
picnics.
A long time. We've been doing that for a long time in America. And, you know, for you go back and look at it, you know, in the 1890s, and certainly that was the idea for labor at the time was certainly to give the working man, and it was mostly men at that time, of course, a well-deserved day of rest, and there were very few of them for them back then, so that they could, you know, get together with their family and have the picnic and have a barbecue. It was also very much about organizing back then, clearly, and that that was part of the principle. You know, it was a long time before, you know, if we talk about 1894, a day to recognize labor, it's really a long time before a lot of those basic fundamental protections came into effect. It was 1938, of course, with the Fair Labor Act under Roosevelt and the New Deal. That established the eight-hour working day, established child labor laws. You know, you go back, there are horrific stories of these factories and mines needing children to get into small places, to get into small machinery. Terrible stories of, you know, child labor. And of course, we know the stories of sweatshops, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory here in New York City. Terrible story of young women essentially being chained to sewing machines in rooms that were, the gates were locked, the windows and doors were bolted, a fire, and the, hundreds perished, mostly young immigrant women. So this is the dark underside of the great American story about labor
and one of the reasons why one of the great contributions that unions made in association with the government, unions made to solve those things.
Absolutely, and we have to take that into account. And of course, as we were saying earlier on, they've been the victim of their own success in some respects. Certainly, the American industry has changed so much that the unions were changed. And of course, you have to be honest and say that the unions were our own worst enemies in terms of some of the corruption. Obviously, specifically the Teamsters in the 1950s. And Jimmy Hoffa and the connections to
they still have their challenges, and there's a number of other things. I want to read a quick quote here, Ken, before we wrap up. This is from Samuel L. Gompers. This was kind of the sentiment, folks. And he was by the way the head of the AFL in those days. He said, "Labor Day is the day when toilers' rights and wrongs will be discussed, that the workers of our day may not only lay down their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it." That was good language in those days, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, Gompers, a cigar maker from New York City, one of the, you know, a great organizers. I should point out, on the other hand, and I think I do, and don't know much about history, that he did not want African Americans, blacks, or Negroes, as they were called in that time, in union. So, you know, everybody has their own, good and bad sides, and you have to take the whole thing
except you, except for you and me, Ken, who are nearly perfect, right?
Nearly. Wife is working on me every day.
Give us your website, please.
Don'tknowmuch.com, and I just want to wish everybody well on Labor Day, especially with the storm coming up. Take care and make sure you're doing all the things you should be doing.
Thanks, Ken, for being here. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen, check out his books wherever books are sold. Very important ones. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.